Talk Shoe. Recorded live.
Hello, everybody, and this is Rick, and it is the 11th of July, 2010, and this is the Q&A call for the subscription side. So let's just begin with the questions here. First question, I am 18 months out from the first D-Day. My husband was a part-time staff member at our church for many years. He resigned after my discovery of his affair. However, none of his church members know about it. We do not attend that church now. All during his ministry, I kept the way he treated me and the way he neglected the kids and me secret from any church member. I thought, as his wife, that's what I was supposed to do. They all thought my husband was great, a wonderful servant of the Lord, almost a walk-on-water mentality. We did not tell anyone at the church. He just said he was retiring from ministry since he is of an age that that would be okay. Whenever we see any of those church members, they still act like he is as close to perfect as you can get. And my husband enjoys that and acts like nothing has changed. That's difficult for me to see. And we do get invitations for social activities. But so far, I've been able to have a valid excuse of why we cannot attend. Why do I, on one hand, feel this is a huge deception and not fair to the church members or our family, and that he's still living a lie, that he is still faking being a person of such superior integrity? And then, on the other hand, I still want people to respect my husband. What should we do, and or what do I need to work on in this regard? Our counselor here told him he needs to call at least one or two of the men that he had great respect for from that church. We have not been able to attend another church regularly yet, and asked them to meet with him to be his accountability partners, and also to work with him on his relationship with God, since my husband has stated he's not for sure that he is saved. However, at least so far, he won't do this, and it has been suggested for months. I think that it is his pride. Maybe I'm wrong. Should he make those calls and try to set that up? I'm extremely concerned about his salvation and want him to be saved and to know without a doubt that he is. Since we attended ARC last year, my husband and I both have a tremendous amount of respect for you, and your answer will mean a lot to us. Any help would be greatly appreciated. Well, I think that for couples, to begin with, in the beginning of the process, ultimately knowing that someone will be safe and that it's not going to happen again is terribly important. And I guess my hypothesis would be, in terms of why it's bothering you, potentially maybe it feels that until he addresses the issue, that what assurance do you have that there won't be a reoccurrence farther down the line? And that would certainly make sense to me. And in a sense, it might help you to feel safer if he was able to tell a few men about it and they did know what was going on and they were working with him and he was doing what was necessary for him to be healthy so that you could feel safe back in the relationship. So in that sense, I certainly believe it would be beneficial for him, whether it's someone from that church or not, to be involved with one or two men who could walk with him and really work with him on the struggles that he's going through spiritually. Second, I think that if he were to do that and they were to still accept him, it might actually go a long way to helping him address some of his issues about grace. I just know that, you know, Scripture says if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we'll have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, the Son, will purify us from all sin. Being able, at least with a few people, to talk about this, I think would probably be important. And so I think that for his sake and being able to forgive himself and not hold on to the secret, which I think is probably something that is going to keep him under condemnation, I think he needs to be able to let go of that with somebody that he feels is safe. You know, we never fall over the what. We always fall over the why we do things. And the other thing I think that's important, you know, when you say you think that for his sake it may be pride, and I think for you it may be pride too. I'll cover that in a minute. For him, I think being able to let go of image and just to be real and transparent and receive grace and have it not be about having to be good enough is really imperative. At the very least, finding somebody, even if they're not in the church, where he can begin to be honest with and walk with and share with on a regular basis, I think would be huge. Potentially something like the Hope for Healing course through Fair Recovery could be something that may also be very, very useful for him. You need to also kind of guard yourself, though. If there's a part of you that wants him to tell kind of out of your own sense of vengeance or because people misperceive him, you want to kind of pray and see what's that about in you. I kind of get it from this that there's kind of two sides to that coin a little bit. I don't know that it's just about wanting vengeance by any means. It's just irritating because people don't really know all of who he is. But in reality, people don't really know all of who you are either. As you said, you also want them to see him the right way. But there's nothing that keeps you from talking about the struggles the two of you have gone through. And yet there's probably a part of you that's resistant and doesn't want to do that for whatever reason. And again, I'm not saying you should or shouldn't. Hopefully, you've been able to be involved with other women and share your struggles and find acceptance and love and validation for who you are and what your experience has been, just like I think he probably needs the same. If it feels too uncomfortable to do that within your community, again, I would suggest for him the Hope for Healing course, for you, Harboring Hope, just because I think it would give you that place where you could actually anonymously be with other people and get healing. So hopefully that helps with that question. I do hope he can talk to maybe somebody from that church, though. I think that's the best case scenario, and just find some community. And if not at that church where they could extend him grace, being able to find it, again, through somebody else there in town that he respects, or at least in one of the virtual online forums. Next question, deep sorrow. My husband used to be an assistant pastor and had a long-term affair with his ministry assistant. He was in denial about it for a few years and only considered it to be a problem when they finally crossed over the line and started having sex. He's now quite angry over the high price that his behavior cost him and doesn't seem to make the connection that he did it to himself. He mainly blames me, frequently saying things like, if you'd only been the kind of wife I needed, this would have never happened to me. He failed to live up to his idealized version of the perfect Christian husband and father, not to mention pastor. His sorrow is deep, but his repentance is shallow. His grief does not seem to be because of his sin against me or against God, but because he became small in his own eyes for failing to live up to what he thought he was. He didn't seem to have a clue that I am in pain. He labels all my emotions as anger. He frequently says, God can't forgive him, and this is my fault too. I now realize that all his relationships were shallow. I guess they always have been, and I just didn't see it before. He knows all the right words, and now how to look really good on the outside, but he doesn't back it up and how he lives his life when nobody is looking. How common is this for this kind of narcissistic arrogance? Any thoughts? Well, I think that what you're describing is probably not that uncommon to man. Just, you know, I think it's our own self-centered arrogance that happens with all people when we begin to believe it's about us being good enough, that it's a performance-based system versus a grace-based system. In reality, it takes a long time for people, I think, to move beyond their own shame and their own self-centeredness to even grow up enough to look and consider what their actions have done to another person. I think it actually takes the ability to be involved with other men who are being honest and doing their own inventory and their own work, where they're looking at themselves and not blaming, where they're able to take personal responsibility for what they've done. How common is that? I mean, I think that it is a malady that probably pervades most addicts, for sure, being a recovering addict, but a lot of other people in culture. I don't know that it's natural for us to really love other people. Our tendency is to do our own image management. Again, that's where I believe that groups become incredibly important and really help facilitate, I think, the healing that you really want over time. So, you know, I would, and I don't know what he is or he isn't going to do with all of this in the future, but just like, I mean, I would just say he needs to be in groups with other people who are really working on being rigorously honest and accepting that maybe the way they've been doing it doesn't work. And because he'll either go back into the place where he has to blame others as a way of self-justifying, or he'll begin to accept, you know, his own failure and be able to just be concerned for others. But I don't know that that'll happen apart from other people who are doing the same. Hopefully that answered your question, and that's all the questions we have for today. I want to thank all of you for joining the call, and I do look forward to you to talking with you guys next week. Have a great day.